When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Usually, for about 13 years, you've heard our next guest on Thursdays at 5:20, new time, same great Albert. Albert Breer of the MMQB joins us now in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Hey, Albert.
Hey, guys, what's happening?
Digging the new time. I feel like my week really gets started this way. I guess we'll start with the start of the season. Are you surprised the Browns are 1-3?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I certainly, you know, if you'd asked me a few weeks ago, are they gonna beat the Raiders? I would have said yes. So that was a little bit of a surprise for sure. But yeah, I mean, I think that they're a better team than that, you know. And there have been a lot of aspects of the team that have been disappointing. You know, I think the health of the offensive tackle certainly does give them a crutch and a reason for being where they're at, but. After the year they had last year and the stuff they were able to manage last year, I think it's fair to have an expectation of more than what they've given you.
Albert, we were tossing this around a little bit earlier in the show, and I don't think it's too early to even at least start thinking about it, maybe at least from a fan perspective or an outside perspective. But do you envision a scenario, given everything that transpired in the offseason with Amari Cooper, that the Browns could look to potentially shop him pre-deadline, by the deadline, and try to get some sort of draft capital or something back in return?
I mean, I don't know. I sort of feel like if you're not bringing a receiver back, I think you'd really have to fall out of the race. You know, like I think it's interesting, and I don't think you'd hang up on a team if they called and asked, because you know, if you don't view him as being a guy who's going to be in the roster next year, then you owe it to yourself to listen. But, you know, I also think they've got a lot invested in this year and where they're at this year. And you know, like I think there are some things there that are tenuous where it's like you want to continue to show your team that you're all in for them right now, you know. So is it something you consider? Yeah. And, you know, I think it's something where you'd certainly listen. But I think they'd have to fall further out of the race than they already are. Now, the one wild card here, of course, is, you know, the effect that the Brandon Ayuk trade talks had on all of this. And, you know, whether or not that poisoned the well to some degree. You know, because obviously we're willing to, you know, you're not in those discussions for Brandon Ayuk if you're not willing to give the guy an extension and you're not willing to give the guy a market extension. You know, so, like, that's a part of it that's sort of the wild card, you know, is – after, you know, Amari Cooper kind of had to fight and claw to try and get some sort of adjustment to his contract, if the Ayuk thing, you know, poisoned the well in any way.
So as a follow-up to that, you mentioned if they're not getting a receiver back in return, we obviously just had the news a little bit ago here that the Raiders are now open to trading Davante Adams after he requested a trade. Is that something the Browns could explore where maybe they do a wide receiver swap with some picks involved? Do you think that makes any sense for Cleveland?
I mean, like, you'd have to rework the contract on Devontae, I think. You could look at it. I mean, Amari's obviously got his history with the Raiders, you know. So I guess, like, you know, from your perspective, you could look at it and say, okay, if we do this, is, you know, and we already have a contract year receiver, do we turn around and get and bring in another contract year receiver who maybe we think is a little bit of an upgrade? You could do that, certainly, but I don't know, man. Like, I think if you're going to go to the lengths of bringing in Devontae and you want a happy Devontae, you probably want to work out new contract terms with him. And, you know, he's turning 32 in December, so he has to be comfortable with that and where he's at physically. And, you know, the way his contract sets up right now, I called him a contract year guy. He actually has 2 years left, but each of those years are at $36.25 million. So, you know, I think you'd effectively be asking him to come in and take a pay cut to be there long-term. And I don't know whether or not you've got a good enough situation to get him to accept doing that.
Albert, It's just been a weird start to the season, man. I mean, you lost back-to-back games to not great teams in the Giants and Raiders. Last week, in between those two games, Mari kind of made a quip about, you know, sometimes people in the media don't ask questions. Maybe the camera needs to be in your face. Deshaun tried to make a case that Jordan Akins was the decoy and, you know, told fans that they're not in the quarterback room, so he's content knowing where the ball was supposed to go at the end of that Giants game. Kevin Stefanski flat out called out DeJuan Jones yesterday, which I can't recall the last time I heard him call somebody out. Like, how close are we to spiraling off into the abyss here? Because it feels pretty close from up close.
Yeah, I actually didn't see the DeJuan Jones thing, so that surprises me a little bit, knowing Kevin. But, I mean, I think it's probably reflective of where they are, where sometimes the head coach does need to say something and call somebody out to get everybody's attention. And, you know, like in a lot of cases, maybe it's the worst offender or something that you're getting for something that you think is a problem across the roster. And so, I mean, look, like I said, they're 1-3 right now. They've had a lot of change. They don't have their starting tackles. They, you know, they had the issue, of course. They didn't have their starting tackles for most of the year. They've had some change in the coaching staff. You know, I don't know how close they are to coming undone, but it's certainly not the healthiest place in the world right now. And you know, sometimes it takes calling somebody to the carpet to change that, and maybe that's just where they're at right now.
Albert Breer, MMQB, joining us on the show. Albert, I think it was last week with Nick and I that you talked about DeShaun and his time in Houston and some of the coach the tough love that he got from Bill O'Brien during his time there, and how maybe he thrived better under that hard coaching sort of structure. Do you think that maybe that's part of the reason why he has struggled here mostly to this point, that he's maybe not getting that tough or hard coaching from this staff?
I mean, I would say like it's been kind of difficult for him to get the kind of coaching he needs at all right now, you know, like, because if you look at it, like there was the weird situation in 22 and then he was hurt for a lot of last year. So, you know, what he hasn't had yet is like a stretch of like a half season where it's like you can go in and make corrections and really kind of like nail down on something and work through it. And so, you know, I think that's what's been so sort of weird about the spot he's been in is that he hasn't really had the chance yet because of the way the last 2 years went to nail down on stuff and kind of turn the corner. And if you want to take an optimist point of view of this, you'd say maybe now he's starting to get that. And maybe that's where some of the progress against the Raiders came. You know, it didn't look great at the end, but, you know, I'd say the play that got called back, you know, obviously the long one to Amari, that looked like the old DeShaun Watson, you know? And I think there were some people on that staff that were like, finally, there it is. You know what I mean? Like, and that was a guy who was playing with some passion, who was playing with some fire and some competitiveness and the stuff that he was known for, you know, both at Clemson and at Houston. And he's a guy who's really football smart too. I mean, everybody who knows him knows that, like just a very, very, like just understands the game. And they did some things in Houston to try to, you know, make comfortable. They borrowed some concepts from Clemson and incorporated them into the Patriots style of offense, which is part of why you bring in Ken Dorsey, right? Is to incorporate some of the stuff that he might have done in Houston, because Brian Daboll has similar background as Bill O'Brien, and Daboll, of course, is the one who put the offense in Buffalo. So, I mean, there's reason for hope there, you know. It's just, you wish you hadn't seen the end of the game go down the way it did, where you had the negative plays in the last series that really kind of killed them, you know, because that's been the problem all along. And so, you know, I think what they're looking for is to get him back to being the instinctive player who's playing fast, who's playing with passion, who's playing with competitiveness. And to me, like that one play, the one play that got called back on the holding was the play where you looked at it and said, there's the guy that you've been looking for. It's just, it didn't show up again when they needed it at the end of the game.
Albert, looking to the Mike Hall Jr. news, 5-game suspension after the domestic violence arrest back in August. That case has been settled with 2-year probation that I believe has been, oh my gosh, now I'm forgetting the word. But anyway, so that's taken care of. The NFL puts 5 games there. four games for time served. He'll be back or be able to be activated after the Washington game. How does the NFL arrive at suspension length? Because I saw Von Miller got four games, so I'm just curious to look into that process.
Yeah, as precedent usually is a big part of it, you know. Where have they gone before? Because obviously all this stuff can be kind of nebulous. But they look at, like, at what they've done in the past, how they've come down on things in the past. I mean, you know, quite honestly, and they wouldn't admit this, but there's a public relations element to it, too, where it's, well, did we the last time punish somebody for this, and did it get panned as being too light? Did it get panned as being too harsh? And then there are certain areas where they never want to come off as being too light on anyone, right? And obviously after what happened 10 years ago now with Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson and Greg Hardy, the area of domestic violence, no matter what the actual case is, you attach those two words to anything, and they're going to err on the side of being too harsh, not too light. So, you know, I know that my call case, it wasn't dismissed, right? It was just settled.
Yes.
Is that right? If I remember right, right? So, yeah. So even in a case that's settled where there's not, where he's not being convicted of a domestic violence charge, just being associated with those two words put my call in a position where they were never going to go light on him on that.
Albert, Monday Night Football saw a bad Titans team kick the holy you-know-what out of the Dolphins. Quarterback play was at the center of it. May I interest the Dolphins in a gently used Jameis Winston to cure their quarterback woes?
I think the Dolphins are in a position right now where they've wanted to wait for the for clarity with Tua, and Tua's seeing specialists this week, and so going through that process, I think will give them a more firm idea of when he's going to come back. And out of respect to that situation, they looked at it and said, we're going to press pause on this whole thing. And that was the idea of putting him on IR in the first place. Like, even before they had a timeline, let's put him on IR. That takes the pressure off the player, takes pressure off the team, takes pressure off the doctors, the trainers, everyone. And, let's just slow this down and see what happens. Now, unfortunately for them, as they're doing that, they still have to play football games. But there's no slowing down the NFL season. So, they sort of been caught there, and I think when they have some more answers on where this thing is going, they'll act accordingly. But I mean, look, man, this is sort of the price of not having a guy, right? This is that price of not having a Mike White or a Jameis Winston or a Cooper Rush or someone who's started games behind your starter. As it stands right now, they're 1-3. They're going to be without Tua for at least two more games. If they lose both of those, and I think those two are against New England and Indianapolis, I think that's right, then they get to 1-5. And if you're at 1-5, well, then, I'm not great with math, but I think then you would have to go 9-2 the rest of the way just to get to 10 wins, which I think is probably the baseline for trying to make the playoffs, And so that's the value to me of having an experienced backup quarterback that you can count on to win games. It's not to save your season, if you lose the guy for the year. I think most teams are screwed when they lose their starting quarterback for the year. It's to keep you afloat for a month, And so I think Jameis Winston is more in the category of, if he is out for the entire year, then we, go to the in case of emergency break glass and try to figure out, a better long-term solution, whether that's somebody like Jameis or Ryan Tannehill or anyone else like that probably would only be interested in going somewhere else if it meant starting in that place for the rest of the year.
Albert, I want to go to Pittsburgh for a second here. Obviously, Brown's biggest rival in the division. And Justin Fields has been the starter through the first 4 weeks, but Mike Tomlin continues to kind of give as long as he's playing well, he's our guy. Is it safe to assume at this point that Justin Fields has that job locked down, or would it really be like he has one bad game and they just turn it over to Russell Wilson?
No, he's got a ton of support there. So, I mean, I I don't know. I'd be surprised if Russell Wilson gets his job back unless Justin falls flat on his face. I mean, you guys have – I like being in Ohio. You guys understand what the kid is like.
Yeah.
I mean, his makeup is born to be a Steeler. You know what I mean? The way that he just kind of carries himself and the way he interacts with his coaches, like he is a Steeler, you know. And so he's been a really good fit for Mike Tomlin's program. You know, and I know, you know, Arthur Smith and the offensive coaches there feel like they can do more with him than they did with Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. And that was a sort of last reclamation project for Arthur. And they went to an AFC title game with Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. So, you know, do they think he's a, you know, going to be a top quarter of the league quarterback? No, I don't think that that's the case, but they certainly think they can get him playing at a really high level. And they really, really like him personally. You know, with the fit he's been for what they're trying to do offensively, the fit he's been for the locker room, and the fit he's been for Tomlin's program. So I would be surprised if that job goes back to Russell Wilson.
Albert, Ohio State's final tune-up before the Oregon game coming up on the 12th. We got Iowa,
yeah.
Ohio Stadium on Saturday, 3:30 kick. You worried at all?
I'd like to see the defense suffocate.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Somebody. That'd be nice. So I think the first half of the last couple of games hasn't been great. So I would think Iowa would be the week where you can choke out the opponent. And hopefully they can't run the ball. I know they've got a really good back. You know, and they've got the guy who broke the Michigan-Ohio State streak. So, you know, I've got higher hopes for the defense than what we've seen the last couple of weeks. Hopefully they can shore that up. And it'll be really interesting to see the offense against Iowa's defense too, because it just feels like that offense can do whatever it wants right now. So Iowa always has the capability to ugly up a game and make things interesting into the second half. Do I think we're going to lose? No. And then, you know, you get the massive one the week after that. So I'm cautiously optimistic that the last 2 weeks, the first half of those games on defense are aberrations.
Albert, love the optimism. Hopefully it's easy sailing this weekend. Yeah, we appreciate you, buddy.
You should see what I'm like during the games. During the games, I'm not the most optimistic person. My text threads get kind of ugly. People get benched. People get fired on those. So.
And that's as an Ohio State fan.
Yeah, my wife does the same thing. You had like the Jeremiah Smith catch, though. Two of them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that kid is the – I made the comparison on Twitter today. I remember watching Adrian Peterson as a true freshman at Oklahoma. I almost feel like this kid's like the receiver version of that. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying he's going to be Adrian Peterson in the pros, but, you know, just as far as a guy who – like looks like an NFL player already. Looks like he goes straight to the NFL and start in an NFL game. Like there aren't many of them who can do that at 18 years old, but this guy's absolutely one of them.
Albert, you're one of them. We appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, Albert.
All right, thanks, guys.
Albert Breer there, MMQB on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll react to what he had to say about your Browns next on 92.3 The Fan. I think the thing that makes the 1-3 start so difficult to kind of move away from is it's not just that you started 1-3. It's that we're talking more about effort, communication, coaching, teamwork against teams that, quite frankly, we shouldn't be talking about that with. You shouldn't be out-teamed by the Giants or the Raiders. Two teams could have the number one pick in this next draft.
Well, like, what's the list that the morning show did today? It was like the nonsense list or something like that, and all the different things that have sort of percolated out of Berea in terms of this team. And it's very like old
Browns.
Do they
call it the nonsense list?
I think that's what they called it, yeah. Which it needs, I think it needs a better name.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to fire shots. I'm not a shot firer. I don't do that to other shows.
You don't call it the morning show.
No.
They just call out you and then you respond to them. You've never actually called them out?
No, I've never. I would never. I'm a professional. I'm a media member.
Wow.
I would never call out the Moneyballs or anybody else. I just totally brought the show to a standstill by saying that. But you were saying about the nonsense.
No, yeah, this is such old Cleveland Browns stuff. Like, it's Amari Cooper admitting that he needed to, like, refocus the practice 2 weeks ago. It's Jerry Jeudy just yesterday saying that he was a little tired at the end of the game and he needs to now do more conditioning. It's just like this long list of things that seems it's Elijah Moore's dad going on social media and questioning why he only got one target a game. Like, we're four games in, and this is why I like, anybody who says that they're surprised, they're not surprised by this, I think is full of it, because everybody had high hopes for this team for obvious reasons. That we all kept saying the exact same thing. You could have any media member, any fan on the station, and the answer and the response was always the same. It was, well, hey, the team's really good. It all just depends on what you get from Deshaun. And so far, it hasn't even, like, there's been a lot of things wrong. Deshaun maybe has been one of them through the majority of these games, not on Sunday, but, like, it's stuff that we didn't see ever being possible. And so, yeah, like, I understand why people are at a point right now where they're just 1-3, but it already feels like the season's, like, in the toilet.
It does feel like a slippery slope. I'm not ready to say, and I know we talked about this yesterday. Every show talked about this. Is the season, oh, you know, does it feel that way? That's 4 weeks in. We're just pissed they're 1-3. But here's where it does get real, whether it's the nonsense list or the shenanigan rankings, whatever you want to do. The reality is, we know from years past the slippery slope.
Yeah.
And that there are points where even a win doesn't stop the shenanigans. And I don't know we're there yet. But I'll be honest, if you lose a third straight to Washington, even though Jaden Daniels is on one as a rookie here, if you lose to Washington, it's gonna be really tough on your third straight road game to get it righted. And you come back here to play Cincinnati on October 2nd with one win, you're playing for the season at that point. That's the slippery slope here. The next two games determine whether you're fighting for survival on October 22nd or whether you're fighting for the division or a playoff spot, however you want to say, when you meet the Bengals at home during your next road game.
Well, I also think it's just a slippery slope of, like, if the nonsense is here now and the ship doesn't get righted, like, the nonsense just continues. And that's, I think, what feels like the most daunting for this team is this idea that, like, there's a lot of stuff on the field that's wrong. Offensive line, sometimes Deshaun, defense can't stop the run, go up and down the list of things. When there's off-the-field stuff going wrong too, and we don't know what type of headspace Amari Cooper's in, and Jerry Jeudy's talking about not feeling tired, he's got to work on his conditioning, and Mike Hall had his whole situation that's now been resolved. It's just like, that's the stuff that feels like it compounds. And then it's just like the season goes on, and it gets worse and worse and worse. And this is why I relate it back to the old Browns, because that's what those seasons also felt like. It was just like there's so many things to overcome.
This is the flaw in every kind of leadership structure has a flaw. But the flaw in the players are the leader thing is, what if the players don't get on the same page? Right? Well, 1-3 becomes 4-13 really damn quick if you're entrusting the wrong people with leadership in your locker room, no matter if it's a head coach or the players.
Well, and I think it's also easier for the players to, you know, give the company line of, like, well, hey, we're a very play, like, last year, that was the theme of the team, was like, the players are all there. There's a lot of leadership in that locker room. They all believe in each other. That sounds better. And it's easier to say when you're winning. When you're losing, like, the player led team message doesn't really resonate quite as much. So, you know, I don't know that works as well when things aren't going well, because clearly the message isn't being received.
So we got a lot more to get into, guys, coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. But when we come back, for the first time, I think since it was the Nick Wilson experiment at night, it's time for Radio Tinder. Give us your strongest take. At Nick Wilson says, at Spencito _, we will swipe left if we don't like it. We'll swipe right if we do. That's next on 92.3 The Fan.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.